Amen. So it's a pleasure to be up here again preaching to you folks. Really missing the pastor when the sound system starts to get touchy. He's our he's our audio technician too, so he wears many hats around here. So it'll be good to have him back. And just really appreciated the song that we sang there, Seeking For Me, that really tied in with the sermon this evening. I always love that song, really just the thought of Jesus Christ seeking for us, dying for us, and then coming for us, just a beautiful thought. And really, it ties in with what I want to preach about tonight. If you look there in Matthew chapter 18, look at verse 10, where the Bible reads, "Take heed that despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray." And the title of the sermon this evening is Seeking Those That Have Strayed. Seeking those that have strayed. And really, that was the mission of Jesus Christ. If we wanted to kind of just encapsulate what he did here on earth while he ministered, it would be to seek and save those that were lost. As it says in Luke chapter 19, he said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now, it kind of goes without saying that in order to save that, or in order to save that which is lost, the lost must be found, right? Meaning that the lost must be sought. You know, you're not going to find anything that you're not looking for. That's pretty common sense. But the point I want to make is that doing that, going out and seeking that which is lost, seeking after that which has gone astray, demands effort, it demands exhortation, and it demands encouragement. And I know I'm preaching a faithful word, I'm preaching to the choir tonight when I bring up this topic of soul winning. And this is a soul winning powerhouse. We do a lot of it. And we do a lot of it through a lot of effort. There's a lot of effort that goes into our soul winning. And we're exhorted to do a lot of soul winning. There's a lot of opportunity to go soul winning. But really what I want to do tonight is just get that last part in for you, which is to encourage you to go soul winning. To encourage you. To remind us why it is that we seek the lost. Why it is that we go after that which has gone astray. Why is it that we do that? And also, I want to remind us tonight the danger of doing that, going out and seeking that which is lost, going after the unsaved, and doing it to a place where we're just doing it out of routine, where it just becomes habit. Because we do a lot of soul winning. We do a lot of it. And for a lot of us, if we're consistent at it, and we've all probably been there, I know I have, is there can be seasons in our life as soul winners that we fall into a rut. And we just end up kind of doing it just because that's when we go soul winning. We got to get it in. Maybe we're in an unreceptive neighborhood and we just got to get it over with. So that's what I kind of want to exhort us tonight, is to not just fall into this rut of doing soul winning simply out of routine. You see, it's going to take effort to go out and seek that which is lost. And seeking the lost, you know, it's inconvenient. It means going out of your way. It says there in verse 12 in Matthew 18, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains?" You know, he goeth into the mountains. He didn't go into a nice flat plain. He didn't go into a place that was easy to traverse. He had to go up into a mountain seeking the sheep. And if you would, turn over to Luke chapter 14. So we see right away that seeking that which is lost, it's not necessarily easy. It's not always convenient. Sometimes we're going to have to go out of our way. Sometimes we're going to have to go up into the mountain. You're there in Luke chapter 14. I'll begin reading in verse 16. We'll see this principle again, that seeking that which is lost is not always easy. It says in verse 16, "Then he said unto them, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and must go needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. So again, it's not always easy to go out and get those which are saved. We saw in our first example that they had to go up into a mountain. And here we see that this difficulty seems to increase. He kind of keeps sending the servants back, and every time it gets a little bit harder. You know, he sends them first to those that were bidden. Of course, we know the primary application is dealing with the nation of Israel and the Gentiles. But there's a principle here about, the fact that sometimes going and seeking that which is saved is difficult. It's inconvenient. So he sends them to those that were bidden. And, you know, they already know where the party is. They already know when the marriage is, what time to be there. You know, the master's just kind of like, where are you guys at? I mean, these guys, they're not, you know, they should have been ready to go. But secondly, he sends them out into the streets and lanes. He's sending them to people that were not bidden, people that wouldn't know where to go, people that don't know what time to be there. But again, it's in the streets and lanes. It's not necessarily the hardest, but it's not as easy as going up to somebody who already knows what's going on. But last there, he sends them into the highways and the hedges. Now that can get difficult. I mean, highway, that's taking you to long ways. You know, it's not as a dense of population when you get out into the highways. I know I've been planning the Navajo Reservation soul winning trips that are coming up. And let me tell you, those people are living way out there. They're living in places, you look at that map on Google Maps, you say there's no way there's anybody living there. There's like six of them. They're down in these little washes and things like that. And someone's got to go seek them. It's not going to be easy, but somebody has to go seek them. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? I'll tell you who's going to do it. The Mormons. That's who's going to go seek them. They're out there. Nearly every one of these towns out there has a Mormon church. So it's not always easy, but we have to do it. Sometimes we have to go out on the highways, and sometimes we have to go out on the hedges. I mean, think about trying to go through a hedge. The whole purpose of a hedge is to not let you through it. But he's telling them to go out there into these difficult places, these places that are far away. Why? To seek those which have strayed. So in both examples, you know, the difficulty of the journey, it's there. It's hard. It's not easy. But also, in each of these examples, we see that the result is always worth it. Because what's the result when we go out of the way? What is the result when we seek and save that which is lost? It's found. When we go out into those difficult areas, or we go through, no matter where we go, and we're seeking those that are lost, the result's always the same. People are getting saved. And that's always worth it. Because here's the thing, those that are sought, those that we're seeking, they cannot find their own way. They're not going to be able to find their own way to where they need to be. They're going to remain lost. And I've been in churches where they have this Calvinistic thinking that creeps in, and I've heard Baptist preachers get up and say, oh, if they're going to get saved, they'll get saved. Oh, I'm sure there's somebody the Lord wants me to preach the gospel to, but if I don't do it, I'm sure somebody else will come along and do it. Because if they're supposed to get saved, they'll get saved. You say, are you Calvinist? Oh, no, I'm not Calvinist. Are you sure? Because you sound like one. But that's the mentality that's crept into Baptist churches. That somehow, if someone's just supposed to get saved, well, everybody's supposed to get saved. You know, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank you. So we know that it's God's will that all be saved, but, you know, they're not going to get saved if we don't seek them, if we don't go out and find them, because they can't find their own way. I mean, think of a sheep lost on a mountain. You know, from what I've been told, sheep are dumb animals. They're stupid. That's why they have to have a shepherd to guide them and lead them, tell where to go, bring them in and put them out. Otherwise, they'll just wander around. You think about the poor. Think about the people in our example. The poor, if they can't hire a guide, show me the way. How do I get there? I'll give you anything. They don't have it. They don't have anything to give. The maimed and the halt. I mean, they might even be physically capable in this example to get where they need to be. Someone has to come and put them in a wheelchair or pick them up. They have to bring them to Jesus and let them down through the thatch in the roof because they're bedridden. What about the blind? I mean, they definitely have to have somebody take them by the hand and lead them to where they need to be. So we see why it is that we need to go out and seek that which is lost. Because if we don't go seek that which is lost, it will stay lost and will never be found. and that's not always going to be easy to go out and do that. And let me say this, seeking those that have strayed is a big mission. It's not a small mission, it's a big mission. We all know the verses in Mark chapter 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. No exceptions. He didn't say some people or most people. That's everybody. That's God. That's what God wants done. That's a big task. I mean, the whole world, every creature, that's a lot of people. And it can be overwhelming to think about how big the task is. We have to think about why that task is so big. Why is the task so large? Why is it that we have to seek the whole world? Because the Bible says all men have sinned. Because there is none righteous, no, not one. They are all gone out of the way. We have to seek everyone that strayed because everyone has strayed. There is not a just man upon the earth. If you would, turn over to Luke chapter 10. Now, I started out this evening saying I was trying to motivate you to go soul winning. I don't know if I'm doing a very good job. So far, I've told you it's going to be hard. You know, it's going to be difficult. It's a big job. Not everybody's doing it. You know, I might not be doing a great job at motivating you. But let me just say this. Jesus set the example. He's the example that we look to. That's why we go soul winning, because that's what he did. He sets the example of seeking and of doing the work. You there in Luke chapter 10, look at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed all other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. I love that phrase every time I read that. Yeah, he sends them out to go out and preach. He sends them out two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. He didn't just send them out and sit back and wait for him to come back and tell them how it went. He went out there right after him and followed up. And the Bible tells us that he went into the hill country, and he went into every city and place. I mean, he went everywhere preaching the gospel. He set the example of seeking that which is lost. He appointed others, but he also joined in the work. That's the example of Jesus Christ. Not only did he set the example of actually leading by an example, of going out and doing the work that he's asked others to do, but Jesus has also showed us the example by the fact that Jesus Christ went farther out of the way than any of us ever will. I don't care how far out of the way you go to get somebody saved. If you go to the other side of the earth, the fact is you will never go as far as Jesus Christ went. The Bible says he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He made himself of no reputation. I mean, Jesus left his throne of glory. He left heaven itself and came down here to seek us, to seek me and you. If that's not going out of the way, I don't know what is. He did that. He left all that behind, and he took upon that same sinful flesh, of course, without sin. We know that. You know, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But he still had to face the same temptations and trials that you and I do. He still had to face the same weariness and hunger and pain and just all the feelings that we have. In this life, he experienced all of them as well. But he still went ahead and did it. He still went and left all that behind in glory and did that in order to seek those that have strayed. So that's the example for us tonight. And when he sought everyone, you know, that means he sought you. You know, we say, oh, Jesus came to die for sinners. But we have to really bring that home for ourselves and remember that he sought me. That's what I love about that song, seeking for me, dying for me. It's a wonderful thought. Jesus sought us. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye might through his poverty be made rich. So Jesus went out of the way. Would you consider this, that someone else went out of their way? Even another person, the person that preached the gospel to you, went out of their way to do that. What if they had decided to stay home? What if they had decided that they didn't think soul winning worked anymore, had some excuse that they didn't want to come and preach you the gospel? Someone went out of the way to preach the gospel to you. We should probably return the favor. We should probably be willing to go out there and do the same thing that Jesus Christ did for us. We should probably go out there and do the same thing that somebody else has done for us and preach the gospel. Because if we don't do it, they're going to stay lost. How shall they hear without a preacher? They won't. So it all rests, salvation, accomplishing this great mission that Jesus Christ has given us, all rests on one thing, the willingness of somebody else to go and preach the gospel. And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So if you're not soul winning, which is probably, I'm sure there's people even here that aren't soul winning. They're surrounded by soul winners. They have multiple times in a week to go soul winning. But they're still not doing it just because whatever. If you're not soul winning, why not? You should probably start. You know, and You don't even have to go out there and start preaching. You can just go follow along with somebody else and be a silent partner. But if you are already soul winning, really the application of the sermon tonight is for you. And that is this, that I don't want to see people let the seeking of those that have strayed become routine. Let's not fall into a rut of just going through the motions, of just soul winning because, well, we're faithful word and that's what we do. I understand that sometimes we have to drag ourselves out there and do it just out of a sense of duty. But it's always amazed me how many times I've had to do that. I knock that first door and I realize, why would I not want to do this? I mean, I start talking to somebody. Somebody could say, I'm like, man, I want to do this for the rest of my life. I want to do this every day if I could. But don't let it become just a matter of routine. So how are you going to do that? It's easy for me to just get up and say that. Don't fall into a rut, guys. Let's close in prayer. But there are some practical things that you can do. There are some practical things. First of all, don't let yourself get weary. I think that's one thing that people allow happen to themselves. And it kind of that leads to other things. They allow themselves to become weary. In the Bible, if you would, turn over to Colossians chapter 4. The Bible says in Galatians 6, you're going to Colossians 4. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So the Bible right here is warning us not to get weary in well-doing, to not faint. God wants us to be able to win souls and accomplish this mission over the long haul. So how are you not going to get weary? How are you going to not become weary? You should pace yourself. Pace yourself when it comes to your soul winning. You see people that'll come to as all the soul winning they can do, and they go and they go and they go, and then they'll be gone for a little while. And that's great that they went that whole time, but wouldn't it have been better just to consistently go week in, week out, rather than just do 3 months and then I'm gone for six? They burn out. People burn out. This happens. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4 to walk in wisdom towards them that are without. We have to walk towards the lost in a certain way. We have to have wisdom. There's a certain way we're supposed to do it. And when we get weary, when we start to wear down, we start to lose that wisdom. We get robotic, we burn out, and it just becomes a matter of routine. People who burn out, they cease walking in wisdom towards those that are without. And they become very robotic at the door. And this happens to me. This happens to anybody that's going to be consistently soul winning or trying to do a little bit more soul winning than just the average person. They're trying to, really go a lot. Is that they become robotic. What do I mean by that? I've seen this, and I've done this. I've seen it in multiple times, not just any one person. Is that they just get to the door, and especially I've observed it when we get into these less receptive neighborhoods. They pull out, I don't have any invites on me, but they'll pull out their invite and they'll be like, they'll come to the door and they'll just say, it's like they're already walking away, hey, from a Baptist church. Yeah, okay. They're already expecting to be rejected. Why? Because you're probably going to get rejected. You probably are. And you could just get an attitude, just say, well, you know what? They're not going to want to hear it anyway, so let's just blah, blah, blah. And not really have your heart in it. You don't really have the burden. When we go to these unreceptive areas, we should all be praying, Lord, give me a burden for the people in this neighborhood. Help me to do this with the right attitude. Help me to understand that you died for these people. And, don't get so worried about how they treat you at the door. If they say something nasty or reject you, so what? But people, they get real robotic at the door. And really, there's a way. I could just tell you this, but if I illustrate it, it'll stick a little bit closer. I've been trying to work this into my sermon for so long. So today's the day. Right, so I'm just going to show you what happens, okay? What? This is something that you can observe in human behavior. This is something that people do a lot. They just take things. They have no reason why. You hand something to somebody, they'll take it. How many of you guys at the preaching class noticed that I just walked up to you and handed you a hymnal? I know I handed you one.
Yeah, you did.
Brother Ramon, I don't know if he's here. I gave him one. I can remember it because he was like, thanks. He's like, thanks, jerk. I felt like a jerk doing it. But I tried it. I experimented. I said, is this really true? Can you just walk up to somebody and hand it something to them? And 9 times out of 10, people will take it. No matter what it is, they'll have no idea why they're taking it. And sometimes we as soul winners, and I observe this, and I've been guilty of it, we'll exploit that at the door. They'll come to the door and they'll just say, I'm from a Baptist church. Do you go to church? And just hold it out. And they're like, no, I'm not coming to yours. Because when you're just sticking something in somebody's face, it feels just like you're, you know, making them take it. You're going to take this invite, whether you like it or not. And that's really not a good, if we would just try doing this, ask them if you can give them the invite. There was a guy who pointed this out soul winning, and he took it and he did it. We were in this really bad area. It wasn't really bad, but it was not receptive. And he was getting, you know, people like, no, not interested. I said, hey, you know, maybe you should just ask them if you can give them the invite instead of just saying, you know, hey, I'm from a church. Do you go to church anywhere? And put the invite in their hand. So try asking them, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm from a Baptist church. We're just going around the neighborhood tonight handing out invites. Can I give you one? I mean, doesn't that sound nice? Yeah. Even for me, that sounds nice. And most people take it. And I noticed him do it. And sure enough, he still got rejected. But they said, no, thank you. I'm not interested. And they did it with a smile. But it's much more warm and inviting and just welcoming to be asked to take something from somebody. That's just a small practical tip. Because here's the thing. When we're trying to accomplish this great task, and we get worn out, and we get worn down, and we get into a rut, we're just going to start sticking invites in people's faces and just wanting them to reject us. So we can just come back and color in a map. I'm all for coloring the map. It's very satisfying to color in the map. I enjoy it. We got to get it done. But I'm telling you right now, a lot of what's left on there is not going to be the best soul winning. So we need to get used to the fact that, you know what, it's not going to be easy, but we still have to go. We still have to reach them. But let's not get in a rut about doing it. And let's not get an attitude. Let's remember that God still died for those people too. And if maybe we can be a little bit warmer and try to be a little bit more personable at the door. You know, smiling is a big one. And I've been corrected on this. I remember years ago, one of the first times I ever went out with Pastor Anderson, I ran into a guy who was actually saved. And he gave all the right answers, and I'm just like, oh, okay. And I walked away, and Pastor's like, hey, that guy was saved, right? He says, doesn't that make you happy? Doesn't that put a smile on your face? I was like, yeah, I guess it should. He's like, well, yeah, it should. The guy's saved. I think I might have said, oh, yeah, I'm happy about it. It's just like, I can't remember exactly how it went, but he's like, you sure didn't look like it. You know, smile go a long way. Maybe just, even if you have to, fake it. You know, get to the door, and maybe some of you shouldn't fake it. Right? If you're one that's like, just really creepy smile, they're like, oh, never mind. But here's the thing. If you fake it, you'll end up actually smiling for real. You'll end up actually being genuine at the door, being warm, and people might want to actually listen to what you have to say because it'll actually look and sound like you actually want to preach it to them. They might say, wow, this is really that important, and he really cares enough to come to my door, and I can tell he really wants to tell me how to go to heaven. Right. And anybody else, I probably would have told, not interested, no thanks. But something about this guy, something about this lady, the way they asked me if they could give me the invite, the way they smiled at me, the way they gave a nice answer, and actually had a conversation with me, not an interrogation. They didn't just break out the sweat lamp and be like, you go to church anywhere? What do you think it takes to get to heaven? You know, you can get to those questions gently. You know, there's a way to do it. And another thing people let happen is they let the people who are disinterested and rude, they let that discourage them. And I understand that. And that's something we're all going to have to fight if we're going to continue to go soul winning, especially in unreceptive neighborhoods. That's just a fact. But you have to learn how to deal with that. You know, because here's the thing, if you take that attitude that you got from that door, someone slams a door, says something nasty, you get all bent out of shape about it, you're going to take that to the next door if you're not careful. You're going to go, oh, that guy's a jerk, let's go see what this jerk has to say. And I wonder what the jerk down there, I wonder what all these jerks are going to have to say to me today. And that's not an attitude you want to have, because people will sense that immediately at the door. Well, you think I'm a jerk? Well, they'll treat you like one. I mean, you're talking to a guy who almost got ran over in someone's driveway in Ahwatukee. I was out there a few weeks back. Steve Tilson was with me. He's my witness. He saw it happen. Yep. I'm walking down, and I'm saying, like, this could not have been an accident. And I'm walking by this driveway down the sidewalk, and it's one of those short driveways, maybe like 20 feet. And there's a car that wants to pull into her driveway. And you know how normally when somebody's going to walk past your driveway when you're trying to pull in, you step on the brake and let them walk by? She didn't do that. She just whipped in there so close. I mean, she had a passenger, and he's like, you know? I was like, buddy, you didn't shave today. That's how close he was. And I'm in my suit, Bible in hand, and I thought, man, I'm sure that was an accident. So I crossed the street, and I walked out. She gets out, you know, purple-haired, looked like she fell into a tackle box. And she goes, oh, I can't believe that worked. Like, oh, I scared him off. Like, I'm glad he didn't come to my door. I ran him off with my car. And, you know, and here's the thing. That was my last, we had already finished knocking. But what if I hadn't? And I went to the next door and like, are you going to run me over too? You know, all these people are out to kill me. So believe me, I know what I'm saying when I know what it's like to be treated poorly at a door, to have somebody be rude to you or try to run you over or call you names or whatever it might be. But here's the thing, you can't let that attitude sink in. You have to shake the dust off your feet. And sometimes that dust, it feels more like clay and mud. You got to get the stick out and really get it out of there. But you got to get it out. You got to get it off your feet, because if you'll track that stuff over to the next door, and you'll mess up their doormat, and they're not going to want to hear what you have to say. So, and that's a tip for people who are going to be a silent partner, or just a soul winning partner, not even a silent partner. If you're somebody's soul winning partner, and you see your partner get discouraged at a door, and they have some jerk, don't draw their attention to it. That guy really was a jerk. Boy, he sure treated you poorly. How did that feel, buddy? You know, you're just squeezing a lemon into the wound. I always try to get their mind onto something else. I've actually gotten to the point now where I find it amusing. I almost look forward to people being triggered by, can I invite you to church? Ah, and they lose it. It's almost funny now for me. But, you know, it's not always that way for everybody starting out. You know, they get rejected at the door, and they're just, you know, they're just quoting scripture at them. You know, your gold is moth-eaten, and it'll be the rust of your gold be a witness against you, and they'll howl, and you wretched men, and go off and just curse them. And I understand being discouraged about being in bad areas, but we can't let that sink in. Here's the thing. You don't want to burn out, okay? So pace yourself. You don't want to burn out. So you need to understand something, that you have the rest of your life to win souls. Now, granted, some of us, that's a shorter time span than others. But we all can say in this room tonight that we all have the rest of our life to win souls. You will accomplish amount more during that time by not burning out, by pacing yourself, by not getting discouraged, and just, you know, not falling into a rut. So what are some other practical things you can do to be consistent and to be productive as you go soul winning for the rest of your life? Maybe you're in a rut today. Maybe you're in a rut and you're saying, you know what, that's kind of describing me. Maybe here's some practical things you could do. Maybe you need a change of scenery. Sometimes that helps. Maybe you need a different soul winning time. I hear Maryville is very nice. I hear there's a lot of receptivity up there. It's very receptive. You know, maybe if you've been going to Ahwatukee every week with us and it's getting to you, maybe you need to go up to Maryville and do some soul winning out there. Or how about this? You could come down to Tucson, right, and go soul winning down there. That's a nice change of scenery. Come pay us a visit. You could, have a change of scenery. How about going on a res trip? You know, this is just one shameless plug after another for every ministry that I'm involved in. Go on a res trip. Now, that is refreshing. How do you think I managed to go to Ahwatukee week in and week out? Because I went alone today. I had to fly solo, and I'm knocking on doors, and no one wants to hear it. And I'm just thinking, well, tomorrow I'm going to the res in 2 days. Doesn't matter to me. They can treat me however they want. I was smiling every door. Glad to do it. Go on a res trip. Come on out. Actually go somewhere where it's really receptive, where people want to hear what you have to say. I've gotten phone calls from people on the res trip thanking us from coming up there. and asking us to pray for other people. People have actually called from the res and said, I'm sorry I missed you. I saw your flyer on the door. And I've gotten other phone calls that aren't nothing like that nature, but that are not off the res. You know, 10 minutes, you know, 5 to 10 minutes of, I have a sign on my door that clearly says, do not disturb. And I would appreciate it if you instruct your people. And whoever came was very disrespectful of the fact of my sign and blah, blah, blah. So there's a big difference between the res and a lot of other places. So maybe that would help rekindle the flame for soul winning and help you to not burn out and help you to keep going. You know, I already mentioned trying a different soul winning time. How about going with different people? Not going with the same, you know, your best friend every single time. Go with somebody else. Get to know another person. Sometimes the only thing that gets you through from those bad neighborhoods is the conversation you have between the doors. And sometimes you can have a real good conversation, get to know somebody, and you're enjoying spending time with them more than anything else. Go visit another church. I mean, how many churches are in this movement now that go soul winning? I can't even count them all. There's a lot of them. You know, maybe plan a vacation. Say, we're going to go to, there's the Red Hot Preaching Conference coming up. We're going to make it out there, and we're going to do some soul winning out with Verity Baptist Church or any one of these other churches. But if anything else, just realize this, that there is a harvest, that your labor is not in vain. Go ahead and turn over to Psalms 126. Psalm 126. You say, oh, I've tried all those things. I've tried going to different times. I've tried going with different people. I've been on the res. I just feel like I'm in a rut. What's the point of even doing this? Because here's the thing. We want to accomplish our goal. You know, Faithful Word Baptist Church isn't going to reach the entire world. But we can reach Phoenix. I mean, we can reach, like, what is it, the 6th largest metro in the United States? That is a huge goal. That is a huge accomplishment. And that's within our reach. That's a reality. We've got just like maybe 2.10 reservations to knock. I mean, we're within 2 reservations. A few hundred doors left on Fort McDowell, maybe 200 doors left on the Gila. I mean, this is going to happen. We're going to be able to say we've knocked every door on all the Indian reservations. We've knocked every door in Phoenix. And what's next? The state of Arizona. Or maybe we'll just do it all again. So we've got a big task. It's important that we don't burn out. I don't want to see anybody burn out. And if all these other things don't work for you, you know, if anything else, you just have to realize that there is a harvest, that there is a reward for your labor. Look at Psalm 126, verse 5. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I love how he likens it unto agriculture. You know, of sowing and reaping. So we have to understand this, that there are seasons to this. There are seasons. And we're in a season of sowing. And there will be a season of reaping when we come back and bring our sheaves with us, when we're rewarded for our labors. Seasons come to an end. I mean, go ask any farmer. He'll tell you. There's only so many months that you can plant and so many months that you can harvest. And up in Michigan, there's, you know, like a few months, there's quite a few months where you don't do anything. You just wait for the snow to melt. Seasons come to an end. The point is this, you know, you do have the rest of your life to win souls. It's true. But you only have the rest of your life to win souls. And then the season's over, and that's it. And whatever you've accomplished in this life, that's what you'll be rewarded for. So you only have this life to win souls because the season comes to an end. So realize there is a harvest. The season comes to an end, and you will be rewarded for your labor. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So if you can keep that in mind, what that's going to do is help you to keep a burden. You know, realize there is a harvest, and then just try to keep your burden. Pray God gives you a burden. Pray God, you know, get on your knees and say, Lord, help me to see these people as you see them. Help me to have a burden for the lost. It says there in where we are in Psalms 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Why are you not reaping? Why are you not getting anybody saved? Why does it seem like it's not going very well? Maybe you lost your burden. Maybe you're just out there going through the paces. You know, maybe you're just shoving tracks in people's hands and waiting for the door to slam. You've lost your burden. It says those that reap sow in tears. Those that come again rejoicing, they didn't leave that way. It says they went forth weeping. See, if we're genuinely burdened for the lost, that will make you sincere at the door, and that will help you to win souls. So let me just conclude with this. We share the same mission as Jesus when we seek those that have strayed. That's the title of the sermon, Seeking Those That Are Strayed. That's our mission. That's the mission Jesus Christ has given to us. That was his mission when he was here, to seek and save that which is lost. That's what we're doing. And in order to do that, we need to understand that we have to keep a burden. And one thing that's going to help you to keep that burden is to understand this, that Jesus sought you. And he wants you to do the same thing. The Bible says, I'll read for you in 1 Peter 2, for ye were as sheep going astray. Ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Don't ever forget that Jesus sought you out. And that's why we need to keep a burden and go and do it for others. And we must not get weary. We must stay burdened. But most of all, if we're going to accomplish this task, we have to go. If we don't go, you can have all the burden you want. You can be full of vigor and life and energy. But if you don't go, you're not going to reap a reward. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for seeking us, Lord. Thank you for setting an example of this great work and task that you've given us of reaching the world with the gospel. Lord, help us to have that vision of doing everything that we can in our corner of it, that we would see others come to you. And Lord, help us to have a burden for the lost. Help us to not be weary in well-doing. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.